Travis Hines of College Basketball Talk, NBCSports.com. Travis, I am trying to make sense of this college basketball season where we are trying to come to some conclusion of maybe not seeing an elite team, the untouchable team in this year's group, that it could lead to a very wild and wacky March. I don't know if I can go that far, but do you agree that we have not necessarily seen that appointment television team, that team that just seems like they are a cut above, or even a handful of teams that are cut above everybody else?
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think there's a correlation to that too. When you talk to NBA people or NBA draft people, when you look at the draft this June, it's a bad draft. That means there's not the types of players that we've become accustomed to seeing in college basketball over the last handful of years. That Duke team from last year, some Kentucky teams, Gonzaga teams that have, you know, stacks of lottery picks and franchise type NBA players. We just don't have that in college basketball this year. There's not that extremely high end talent, and what talent there is not clustered on a couple rosters like we've seen in the past. And that leads to teams that maybe aren't as dominant, but I think it does lead to a much more wide open field where, I mean, honestly, you look across the top 25 and maybe even beyond, you see teams where you can talk yourself into them making a run in March, just because the rest of the field is going to be pretty evenly stacked across those 68 teams.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was talking about last week, is I'm not trying to say, boy, some of the blue bloods will not have a deep run, but I think for all of us, when it comes to making our selections on the bracket, I think it's going to be so much tougher to find where the actual upsets are going to be and how far you want to take some of those teams, like a Kansas, or, I mean, let's face it, a Michigan State team that's out of the top 25, or Kentucky, or even Duke in an ACC that hasn't looked tough. I just feel like if you fall in that sixth seed or seventh seed, I feel you have more confidence than maybe in any previous year. Would you agree?
I would. I would say the chaos that I would predict that we see in March is not going to be a VCU, a Loyola, a George Mason making a run to the Final Four.
Yeah.
It's going to be those second and third team high majors. Like, can we see Iowa get to a Final Four? What about Maryland? Can Texas Tech get back after, you know, losing so much from last year's runner-up team and then having a struggle in November and December? I think those are the teams that the path is going to be widest for, not necessarily the teams from the mid and low major conferences.
When you do look at, I want to get your thoughts on the Big 12, and I know you have a lot of connection to Iowa State too, and spent a lot of time watching them. We talked to Jared Stansbury earlier about the Tyrese Halliburton injury, but just Iowa State overall in a conference I'm trying to make sense of. I feel like it's not great for the Big 12 when you have Iowa State as low as they are too, but you also look at even a team like Texas in the fifth year of Shaka Smart, where that thing just has not taken off. Just overall, how do you kind of view the Big 12?
Relative to how it's been the last 4, 5, 6 years, it's terrible. And I say that because what has made the Big 12 stand out, in my opinion, and I think a lot of people's opinion, as the best conference in the country for over that length of time, is the depth. Where you're usually talking about 7, 8, and even 1 year, 9 teams that you felt like had a chance to make the NCAA tournament. This year, I think you feel good about 4, and then that maybe a fifth gets in if Oklahoma can win a couple games, if TCU can right the ship, but TCU just lost by 40 points, so I'm not feeling too confident that that's going to happen. You mentioned Texas. I have very little confidence in them getting on a roll. The league is just down, and I do say that while also acknowledging I think it does have 4 potential Final Four teams. I think it maybe has the best team in the country right now in Baylor. That is obviously on a long winning streak. Kansas is right up there as one of the 4 or 5 best teams in the country. West Virginia is certainly top 10, top 15, and then Texas Tech is looming. Their 4 is as strong as ever, as when the league has been great. But really, when you look at 5 through 10, there's just a lot of unimpressive basketball teams. Oklahoma State has been borderline terrible. Same with Kansas State, and now I would imagine Iowa State, which has been pretty bad, with maybe a lottery pick running point for them. Now without him, I think things are going to bottom out pretty significantly for Iowa State. The league is, to me, got weaker this week, which sets it back from where it's been.
I asked Jared this question. I want to get your thoughts too. What is the overall feeling of Steve Prohm from what you're hearing, and based on this season, but also the confidence of them kind of picking themselves up going forward with them?
I think within the athletic department, the feeling is pretty rock solid. I think within the fan base, there's a little wobbliness. There's frustration with the way things ended last year with a team that I think a lot of people looked at, and including me, as the most talented team in the Big 12, crashed out in the regular season over the last 3 weeks, and then a first round exit in the NCAA tournament that overshadowed a Big 12 tournament victory, a Big 12 tournament championship, excuse me. And then this year that just hasn't worked. So now they're going to miss the tournament for 2 out of 3 years. And I think where people really start to sweat a little bit is you look at the roster next year and you wonder, how does it improve, especially when you assume Tyrese Halliburton is going to go pro and did not come back for his junior year, because there's not a lot of that high-end talent that you need in the Big 12. So if you're taking a team that's probably going to finish, you know, eighth or ninth in the league, and you take the best player off and you're not adding significant talent, you know, I think next year looks a little scary to Iowa State fans. And if that's the case, now you're looking at 3 out of 4 years without an NCAA tournament. And I think that's where maybe the pressure starts in on Steve Prohm, because if he can't, I don't know that an NCAA tournament will be the expectation next year unless they hit a couple home runs in the spring recruiting trail. I think that's probably unlikely. I think the task will be to at least show some signs of optimism for that 21-22 season, that things are pointed in the right direction. Because if it's not, I think that's where people start to really question the health of the program after, you know, what I would consider the best 10-year run in program history.
All right, same type of question with Shaka Smart in Texas. I mean, this year five, Travis, I thought that was going to be a absolute monster of a hire in the Big 12, and it's been so underwhelming. I just can't imagine that he's not feeling the pressure.
Yeah, I got to think so. On that 40-point loss to West Virginia earlier this year, I thought maybe sealed his fate. The only thing I think that maybe helps Shaka Smart is I don't know if there's an obvious replacement available unless they feel really confident about being able to go get Chris Beard from Texas Tech, which I have my doubts about with the way that Texas Tech supports that program, with the way that they pay Chris Beard. I don't think that's a slam dunk availability for Texas. I think if you're Shaka Smart, I wonder if you look to maybe try to find a parachute at another program and just get a fresh start, because, you know, after 5 years, this thing just has not gotten rolling for him. And it's not because of a lack of recruiting. They've had lottery picks. They've had talented teams. I mean, I think even this year's team, you look at it, you know, the guards that they have, the bigs, to me, this is a talented team. It's just not a team that's winning very much. And so it just does not seem like this is a thing that's working for Texas. I don't know if they'll be in a hurry, though, because they still have 2 years in the Irwin Center. After two more seasons, they move into their new building, and certainly they're going to want to go in there with a little bit of momentum. So if it doesn't happen this year, the pressure will be immense next year.
Travis Hines joining us, College Basketball Talk, NBCSports.com. The Big Ten, we've seen projections with as many as 11 teams making the NCAA tournament. We saw Maryland play Nebraska last night. Hey, Maryland, they're a talented team. You mentioned them as maybe one of those sort of second-tier teams that could make a run. I would agree. But when you do kind of look at the depth of the Big Ten, yet Michigan State kind of falling back a little bit, Michigan kind of falling back a little bit, what does it kind of say to you about this conference this season?
Yeah, I think the Big Ten is, to me, unquestionably the best team, the best conference in the country. And obviously that's relative to a down year across college basketball. But when you talk about getting 11 teams into the conference tournament, I think the strength of the league kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because teams that win games are given credit for winning big games. And teams that lose those games, you know, it's kind of dismissed because they mostly lost to teams that are well-regarded, and it kind of fuels itself. And that's why I don't think 11 teams is necessarily out of the question, especially when you look, you know, at the SEC that has no real top tier team, you know, depending on, I guess, how you feel about Auburn. The ACC is obviously down. The Pac-12 is a mess. You know, we talked about the Big 12 already. And that's why I think the Big 10 really can stack the field of the NCAA tournament, because I do think it is by far the best conference in the league. It's got high end teams. It's got the depth. And I think that's what's really going to give them a leg up on Selection Sunday.
When we do look at, in a big matchup tonight, Creighton, Seton Hall in the Big East as well, you know, we kind of look at all these different conferences, you know, do you feel like this is just kind of, and I'll use the Big East as an example as well, where we've kind of seen teams sort of trend, like Butler was the hot team early. Then we saw, you know, Villanova was kind of steady. Then they've kind of stepped back a little bit. Creighton took that step forward after beating Villanova 2 weeks ago, or a little more than a week ago, I should say. Yet Seton Hall's just kind of hung around there. Has it just kind of been almost like a kind of a cyclical conference, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, indicative of not having great teams, is that consistency is maybe the hardest thing to find. And I think that's why, to me, Seton Hall is very talented. I got the chance to watch them play a lot this year because I was at the Battle for Atlantis, and then they played it at Iowa State in December. And to me, they're excellent. You know, the depth that they have, especially now that they're healthy, and obviously Miles Powell is a unique talent. And for them to be able to stay steady and stay consistent, despite some of those issues that they had for a bit, maybe is helping them separate a little bit. But you mentioned, you know, the cyclicalness, I would just call it inconsistency. And I would say that's because you just don't have those high-end teams that we've seen before that are capable of, you know, really reeling off long winning streaks.
It's Travis Hines again, NBCSports.com, College Basketball Talk. Travis, appreciate you jumping on. We'll look forward to talking to you here soon, man.
Yeah, anytime. Have a good one.